Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll get back to college football. The Tennessee Vols finished 7-5 after 5 consecutive wins. Alabama has been eliminated from the college football playoff. Of course, the Nashville Predators take 7 out of their last 10 possible points. They win on Friday 3-0 and then lose on Saturday 3-0. The Tennessee Titans win as well against the Indianapolis Colts 31-17 over the weekend.
The sun was going to rise today.
Yeah, well, right. No, well, hell's closed because the Titans beat the Colts in Indianapolis. Darren McFarland joining us here, of course, host of Darren Donick and Chase, coming up at 10 o'clock. Darren, we'll get to the Preds in just a second, but I did want to get your thoughts in general on just what you saw yesterday from the Tennessee Titans in a win over the Colts, something we've only seen one other time since 2007.
To think the sun was going to rise today, I think it's going to be like 85 and sunny with everything that took place.
No, I'm saying because Alabama is not in the playoffs, so I'm like, man, so it's not rising today.
Gosh, I didn't know we were talking about the Iron Bowl. I thought we were talking about the Titans and the Preds. And, Braden, to your point, I mean, when you look at the record, I mean, going into that game, 1-10 in the last 11 trips to Indy, 3-19 the last 22 games in the NFL versus the Colts. I mean, that's like college stuff. Like, that's Kentucky versus Tennessee. That's Vanderbilt and Tennessee. That's like rivalry series game. I mean, not in the NFL. And, oh, by the way, can we throw in Peter Mrazek? The Predators beat Peter Mrazek. Hey, no longer undefeated against Peter Mrazek. I mean, and the Carolina Hurricanes, they ended a 6-game losing streak. So a lot of good things happened in this market. The Predators ended what was a head-scratcher stat against Carolina and Peter Mrazek, and the Titans ended a head-scratcher against the Colts. And let's be honest, if we're being honest, I tweeted this out before the game, if the Titans can't beat the Colts without Ebron, who's on IR, done for the season, T.Y. Hilton, and Marlon Mack, if they can't beat them today, when is it going to happen? And, of course, when it was 17-7, I just sat there shaking my head going, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is really happening again. And then, you know, the fourth quarter came, and then good things happened. And now we're sitting here on Monday morning talking about a great Titans win.
Now, obviously, the Preds this weekend, you know, they won one, they lost one. But I think the big talk now is the continuation of Kyle Turris not playing. Paul gave an explanation. I don't think many fans, you know, are satisfied with that explanation, but it is what it is. Where do you think this goes, Darren? Because obviously when they lost Arvidsson, you know, for 6 to 7 weeks, you just thought that, okay, this is an opportunity for Kyle Turris to step back in and kind of get things going again. But they chose to bring guys up. They brought Carr up. They brought a couple of other guys up. And Kyle Turris is the guy that continues to be the odd man out. Where do you think this goes?
Ooh, there's a loaded question. I just watched the thing over the weekend. Maybe we could find the Zoltar machine and ask him. Although I think he just does wishes, right? So maybe he doesn't have the answer.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie. I saw that on this weekend. I think I watched all of it as well. What a great movie.
I got afraid. My son watched it. He just turned 8, and now he's been asking me every day, can we watch Big again? And I was like, whoa.
Tom Hanks looks he looks so young.
He was young.
I know. Well, guess what? This is why he looks young. That movie was 31 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Which really dates all of us.
Yep.
But, Derek, I don't know where this is going. It's very clear that this is where the Predators are going right now. This is where head coach Peter Laviolette is going right now. This is the direction. I mean, they brought up Matthew Olivier to give them a spark, and they brought up Daniel Carr to give them a spark, and it's worked to a degree. And don't forget, UC Charles had three consecutive starts, which is the first time that had ever happened to Pacarine when he was upright and healthy since the first year in the league with the Predators. That's how long it had been since Pekka had sat and watched the backup have three consecutive starts while he was upright and healthy. So I just think this is just a matter of a coaching staff that's just trying to figure out something that will work and will be sustainable for a while. Because we're sitting here talking about, yeah, the second half of the month got better, much better, but the first half of the month was not good. And as we sit here now, 2 months in, and the book is closed on 2 months, they are what they are, right? They're just an up and down. Right now, they look like they're an average team. They win some, they lose some. And, you know, a lot of people don't feel like when you get to the playoff time, if that's what your body of work looks like for 82 games, if that's a good recipe. Now, some teams have been able to turn it on, and some teams have not. And by the way, right now, that recipe wouldn't even be good enough to get you in the playoffs. So I just think, honestly, I'm a little bit surprised because you guys both know this. This is what's surprising to me. What was the talk last year about Kyle Turris, and especially the vibe with the fan base? What was the vibe?
Probably disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
Disappointed, mad. Like they were. Yeah. Just, they
get rid of them.
Right. Thank you. And what is now this new vibe? New vibe. It's free Kyle Turris. He's getting done. It's like great, good for him. I like Kyle. Kyle's a good guy. But where was all it? Last year they couldn't wait to get rid of him. Now everybody's like, hey, bring him back. It's like, what? What just happened?
Well, and Darren, you know this, though. Fans are allowed to be hypocritical and change their minds and you know whenever they want to because they're fans and they're allowed to be that way. And it's not the same way for coaches and general managers. There's obviously a lot more that goes into it. I don't really have an issue with them saying to us, hey, Kyle Turris doesn't help us win right now. It's a lineup decision. I understand that. But the fans are owed more than that, in my opinion. The answer to the question is why. Otherwise, I'm sitting up here left to speculate, which is, in my opinion, again, total novice who does a radio show and doesn't host and doesn't coach hockey teams. But if he's not willing to go into the dirty areas, he's not going to stand in front of the net, and he's not going to play that role, that to me is at least something they could explain or say, or that they could go into the why. And I think the issue the fans have here is not as much about Kyle Turris and his point production, and it's more about the idea that Peter Laviolette has chosen to play this a certain way, which is the way he's always played everything, which is his prerogative. The idea is, why does he not help you win games right now when Victor Arvidsson is on the shelf for a month? And I think that's a fair question, and fans want to know, and they're not really giving us anything.
Now, that's a different layer to this, and I don't disagree with you. I said it last week on the show. I mean, Peter Laviolette has the right to handle it however he wants. But, I mean, if you think that just simply answering that question by it's a lineup decision or a coach's decision or however you want to answer it very, very briefly, and that everything is just going to go away and nobody's going to talk about it, I mean, I don't know. You know, he's been in bigger markets. I mean, I get it. This is Nashville, and maybe you think that maybe there's a chance it goes away, but it's not going away in any market. It just you can't make a decision like that and expect it to go away by just simply saying, well, that's just what I've decided to do, and that's that. Well, that's fine. That's okay. But people also have the right to ask the questions, to your point. And I said that, and I don't have a problem with people being angry that there's no explanation, and that's fine, but that's his right not to answer it. But it's also everybody else's right to do what you said, speculate, be mad, flip their roles, which is hilarious, which I think is great. But it's like last year you're ready to run him out on a rail, and now it's free tourists. It's like what just happened? But to your point, yeah, I'm okay with that part of it, because you're right. If that's how you're going to answer it, or you're not going to answer it, then don't be surprised if then it creates more talk. The more you don't answer it, the more talk it creates. And everybody's okay to do it however they want on the side of the media covering it, the fans and their feelings, and the head coach and the organization. Everybody's in the right. But you also have to understand when you go down a certain path, you have to know what's in front of you. And what's in front of you, if this is what it's going to be for a good while, because you can come out and massage it. Both of you know this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, coaches have to massage things all the time. General managers have to massage things all the time. Floyd Reese is on our afternoon show, and Floyd Reese was the best massage therapist I've ever been around. I mean, you just basically lay on a table for an hour, and he'll talk to you for an hour, and it sounds really good. But really, when you start doing a deep dive into it, I'm not sure Floyd gave you anything, but you feel pretty good about it. You really do. And that's what general managers and that's what head coaches have to do. And he's choosing not to massage this topic. He's just choosing to shut it down. And then you get people are going to push back if that's what you choose to do. And it's okay to choose to do it that way, but you could also come out and say exactly what you said. Look, right now we're not playing the brand of hockey that we expect to play. We're not winning at the clip that we expect to win at. And so we've got to make changes. And sometimes those changes are tough changes and lineup changes. We're just trying to create a spark here. That's all we're doing. There's no issues. We're just trying to create a spark. You can do stuff like that. And, you know, I think people then just, everything just simmers down. Everything's quiet. Okay, well, that's what they're choosing to do. But I think the fact when you shut the door, it just leaves people to do exactly what we're doing right now. And that's just talk about it.
Yep.
That's my two cents.
No, I agree. What do you expect this week? You got Tampa at home tomorrow night. You get P.K. Subban, of course, and the Devils on Saturday, San Jose. So you get a nice home break here. You do have to play Buffalo on the road next week, but you get Dallas next Saturday. So basically two full weeks at home outside of one game. What are you looking for? What do you want to see from this team in those games as it pertains to building some consistency?
Well, I think that's just what it is. I mean, they've got to build some type of consistency. They're trying to get on a new run, and what better? There's a new month, new chapter, so get on that run. So how do you do that? Well, the penalty kill has looked a lot better, so maybe that's a start in the right direction. The penalty kill is, by the way, in Raleigh, it looked fantastic. I mean, Carolina looked like they had never been on a power play before. I mean, that's how good the Predators were killing off those penalties. So they've done a good job of killing off penalties of late. They got to get the power play going. I mean, what do they have, two power play goals in the last 10 games? I mean, they got to get that cranked up and going again. That's kind of drifted off to the side. And they just have to play better in front of Pekka or Juuse, whoever is in net. There's just too much traffic in front. There's too many bodies in front. I mean, look how Florida beat them. Florida, with all the firepower that they have, I mean, they've got some really talented players. And here we are talking about Strawman with a pair of goals. And, you know, Barkov is one of those huge talents, but how did they do that? They were all right there in front and nobody around them. And so to me, that's the problem. They'll have to clean that up because, you know, you just can't have that, because this level, teams will make you pay. So they got to keep bodies out of that crease, out of that slot area. They've got to give the goalies a chance to have cleaner looks and stop some of these things. You can't have these rebounds with bodies in front and nobody around them. So I would say to get things going in the right direction, that would probably be a good start.
Darren McFarland coming up at 10 o'clock. Darren, Donick, and Chase, we do appreciate it, buddy. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, well.
I agree with almost everything he said. I'm thrown off right now because Marquise Munson is no longer sitting behind the board, and I'm staring.
Oh my goodness! I didn't realize that.
I'm staring at that ugly mug.
Yeah.
Now,
my main man.
Hello. Behind the board.
There he is, the voice.
I don't remember how to do this.
Turn the microphone off. We got to go to break.
Go to break.
Oh, look, now it's back like old times. Chase McCabe telling
me to go to break.
Chase McCabe telling me to go to break. Titans win tomorrow. We'll get into the ins and outs and the what have yous of the Titans' victory over the Colts, 31-17, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans are now 7-5 in the playoffs, tied with the Steelers for the sixth wild card. I guess technically that means they're not in the playoffs because the Steelers have the tiebreaker, but they are technically in the sixth spot right now, tied for sixth spot, as the Oakland Raiders fall yesterday to the Chiefs, and of course the Titans beat the Colts 31-17, which moves the Colts a little just out of their way for 1 week. And this really does come down to one thing. I feel like every week, because I see a lot of the is this for real question, Derek, floating around, you know, like are we for real? Can we buy in? Are the Titans back? Like, I don't think any of that stuff applies. I think it's sort of stupid commentary and stupid conversation. All you do each Sunday is keep yourself alive.
Yeah.
That's it. You beat the Jags, you stay alive for a playoff spot. You beat the Colts, you stay alive for a playoff spot. They run Derrick Henry. They limit the mistakes that Ryan Tannehill can make. He has been absolutely incredible and efficient with the football. When they are only asking him to throw the ball 18, 19, 20 times a game. I think 22 attempts yesterday, 18 the week before that, 19 the week before that. Derrick Henry is getting the football more than Ryan Tannehill is throwing it. The defense is playing well. That is the recipe for success. You've won two straight in the division, three in a row, five out of six. All you're doing right now, Derrick, is surviving. Just survive each week. And by the end of the year, maybe you're in the playoffs.
Yes. Is this team, you know, for real? That's the huge question, I guess. You know, is this team real? They beat Indianapolis. Is this team real? If you look at their losses to the Colts, 19-17, close loss. Jaguars, that game was closer than what the score indicates because had Vrabel kicked the field goal instead of trying to go for it, it would have been different. 14-7, the Bills, close game. Now the Broncos, 16-0, that was that whole debacle. But then the Panthers, 30-20. This team has kept themselves in games for the most part. And seven times they've won, and five times they've lost. So is this team for real? I think they are. But they just got to continue to do the things that they feel comfortable doing. They need to continue to be who they are, which is they're not this prolific passing team, but they damn sure run the ball very well. They're a prolific running team, and they play defense. Now, do they have sort of this bend but don't break mentality right now because of some injuries in the back end? Absolutely. But this team has figured out who they are, and they're going to play within the confines of who they are. Are they a team that can be down by 10 and make a comeback late in the game? Probably not. But what they can do is be leading by 7 and grind the clock out with Derrick Henry, you know, in the last 6-7 minutes. That's mm-hmm. who they are as a football team.
Dude, when they have a lead, when they blocked the field goal and they had the lead and they got the ball back with like 5 minutes to go, I'm like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're up by 7, you got Derrick Henry, but just run it out.
Mm-hmm.
Finish the deal. This is what you're built for, is to play with a lead in the second half.
And they did that, but they did it to – they took advantage of what the Colts knew they would try to do when up 17-24. The Colts said they're going to run the football, and they're going to try to milk the clock. And if we stop them, at least we get another opportunity. Well, Arthur Smith – you know, called probably, like Vrabel said, probably the best play he's called all season was a hard play action pass and hit Khalif Raymond over the top. I don't know what the safety was thinking in that play, because you take the deep guy, Khalif Raymond beat the guy off the line of scrimmage. So he had a step on him running across the field. And because of the play action pass, because of that front 7 is so concentrating on stopping Derrick Henry that Ryan Tannehill was able to hit Khalif Raymond, who's up until this point, that was the biggest catch of his career up until this point.
Yeah, not even close.
You know, exactly. So he's giving them.
It was a phenomenal play.
Absolutely. He's giving them an added dimension that they didn't have, the speed that he's able to display out on the field. And this is who the Tennessee Titans are. So, you know, whether they're 7-5 or 6-6, it doesn't matter in the sense of this is who they are. They're not going to deviate, and they shouldn't deviate from this, because this is the best opportunity they have at winning games. And I know had they not won this game, people would have said, well, maybe they should have threw the ball more. Yeah, no, that's not them. This is who they are.
Right.
Win, lose, or draw. This is who they are as a team. Run, play good defense.
I mean, and again, Ryan Tannehill has been very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's irrational to expect him to be this good, which is career good, right? Like the best mm-hmm. six-game stretch of his career. for the rest of his career. So I don't think that, like, my opinion on Ryan Tannehill being the long-term answer for this team hasn't changed. He could be a short-term answer, and I thought that the second he stepped into the starting lineup, one of these two guys is a smart option to bring back if you can get him at an affordable cost. Derrick Henry, though, it feels like is the guy that needs to be there no matter what. And unless you've got, you know, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, whoever, as your starting quarterback next year, which seems extraordinarily unlikely that you're going to find that guy in such a short period of time, you need someone else to sort of hold the fort down. And in the meantime, we're going to play great defense and pound the football with Derrick Henry. You can win football games. The NFL is, you're a couple plays away from being great. You're a couple plays away from being bad. And right now, Derrick Henry has been great. Ryan Tannehill is capitalizing on that. And the offense is playing well, scoring over 30 points because they're not asking Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball a lot. And when he does, he's being efficient. He did get sacked 6 times yesterday. You know, the last 4 drives of the first half were totally stopped because they gave up sacks on every drive. Guess what happened in the second half? They gave Derrick Henry the football.
Yeah.
They won the game. And I think the other big point from yesterday, the bottom third of that roster played very, very well. Mm-hmm. That's a credit to John Robinson, Mike Brabel, and the coaching staff for developing that scout team and those guys and scouting the right people and having the right guys ready to go, bringing Khalif Raymond onto the roster. You know, Kareem Orr had 8 tackles yesterday, I think was the second leading tackler on the team, hadn't played a snap. Ty Smith hadn't played a snap all season and returned the block field goal for a touchdown, made a huge play, played a ton of snaps on defense, I think 60-something snaps on defense. To me, it was about the bottom third of the roster making big plays because they were asked to step into bigger roles.
Exactly.
And they made those big plays.
Yeah, and that's what they're gonna have to continue doing because there are some injuries in the secondary that they're going to have to address. Well, they're going to have to continue to play with. Whether Adoree Jackson is able to play this week or not, we don't know. Sims, we don't know. We know Malcolm Butler's gone for the season. So guys are going to have to step up, and guys are going to have to play big because each game from here on out is a win or you're out game. They can't afford to lose games moving forward. They just can't, especially with Pittsburgh and their schedule. The only thing they can hope for now is if them continuing to win and New England continues to win. Because that last game with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, if New England continues to win, then it means something for Baltimore. If New England loses and Baltimore continues to win, then that might not bode well for the Tennessee Titans.
Baltimore Ravens, man, we can get into that a little bit because we're about to go around the NFL when we come back because I was watching that game Baltimore and San Francisco yesterday and I'm thinking this belongs in like the 1960s vault of NFL films. It was like wing T, power eye, trap football with like rain and slush and snow and 17-17. I felt like I was watching old school. Like it should have been in black and white.
That's what you call exotic smash, my friend.
I loved it. The Ravens scheme. There are a few things in football right now that I love more than watching the Ravens offensive scheme. Mm-hmm. The way Greg Roman is designing that offense. I mean, they are essentially running a wing T trap option. It is so much fun to watch. We'll go around the NFL when we return right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's about 9:30 on a Monday, so we go around the NFL. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and that means it's Marquise Munson's time to shine.
Do your thing.
Is it though? Is it though?
I mean, I don't know. You had vanilla cake for Thanksgiving, and you're very upset about it.
Yeah,
I am.
As you should.
Tucker to try and win it for the Ravens. It would be their 8th straight if he can do it. From 49 yards out. Make it 8 in a row for Baltimore.
In the spirit of my teammates who have been up here to talk to you guys the last few weeks, I should say something like real inspiring, like big trust. And I'll open it up for questions.
Justin Tucker hits the game-winning field goal, 49 yards, and also the corniest press conference quote ever.
He's a kicker.
I know. It was funny.
That big trust.
It's intentionally
from,
being corny.
Yeah, that big trust comes from Ingram, Mark Ingram when he was talking about Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, big trust.
He knows he's a kicker and has to sound like a like a dweeb when he says it. So he did. He
big
owns it.
Trust.
He speaks like seven languages and is like the best kicker on the planet.
And he hit a 49-yarder to win the game for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson didn't have the best passing game, obviously, 105 yards, but he did have 100 yards on the ground. Jimmy Garoppolo also kind of struggled a little bit. He was 165 passing yards. So, but what a game, though. I mean, two teams that, I mean, a 49ers case, we probably didn't think they would make it to the playoffs and make it this far and be this good this year. But the Ravens, they're just... I mean, this team is just fun to watch, man.
They are. I mean,
this is Michael Vick-esque to me.
They have the most exciting player in the NFL right now in Lamar Jackson. He's become a better passer. And they have probably, and I'm gonna say this for one reason, they have probably the best offensive coordinator in the National Football League. Why? Because he saw what he had. And he made his offense fit around that player. Not many offensive coordinators can do that. A lot of offensive coordinators say, no, you're going to fit into my scheme, and that's how we're going to do it. But what Greg Roman and that staff did during the offseason, traveled around and made sure they got an offense that fits Lamar Jackson's skill set. And boy, oh boy, it is working to a T. Because, man, that offense is explosive. Their defense is playing well, and Lamar Jackson – to me right now, he's the MVP.
What's funny because it's how quick we forget about Patrick Mahomes and how good.
It's just been very quiet surrounding Patrick Mahomes.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Derek, about how Greg Roman and the Ravens have built their team around Lamar Jackson. I would take Patrick Mahomes 100 times out of 100 over Lamar Jackson.
Of course, of course.
If you told me right now I could start my team with one of those two guys, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes.
Of course. I mean, there's no because of his ability to throw the football.
Yeah.
But in this setting, this offense, the way Greg Roman runs his offense, I am taking Lamar Jackson because he does what no other player, no other quarterback in the National Football League is able to do and hadn't been able to do since Michael Vick. And if he gets better, if he gets even better as a passer, I feel sorry for the NFL.
I would like to see, I want to see it in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's going to be the next thing.
When teams, you know, do far more different things schematically. You know, they've had a whole year of tape on this new Greg Roman offense. We'll see what happens. I would take Mahomes over Lamar Jackson. But I think, Marquise, your point is that we just sort of move on to the next thing every year and we forget. And it's like, oh, by the way, Drew Brees is still 10-2. Like, I still have the Saints winning the whole thing. So, like, but nobody pays attention to, you know, they're old news, right? Like, the new hot thing is what people care about.
Can you explain what happened Friday?
I mean, listen, the T-shirt didn't have anything to do with us at the minus one moving out. I wore a T-shirt. I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again. I put a jacket on. I covered it up. I took a picture with a fan. That was as simple as that, you know. T-shirt didn't cause us to give up 40-yard passes, and we were ready to play. That's the only thing people need to be concerned about. We were ready to play.
So we already knew that, you know, after the Myles Garrett, you know, Rudolph thing, we knew that this game was going to be a lot of animosity with the players, but not a lot of people expected the coaches. There's players showing up in free pouncy hoodies and mask over their head. But what he's talking about is that on Friday, he took a picture with a fan, and under his jacket is a T-shirt that said, Pittsburgh started it. So then, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers fans and the players obviously felt some kind of way of the head coach kind of praising this kind of situation with Myles Garrett and Rudolph. And Freddie Kitchens has kind of doubled down on it and said, hey, look, I'll wear it again. Like, I don't. And a lot of Steelers players thought it was very disrespectful for him to wear a shirt that said Pittsburgh started it. So,
well, yeah, it is. I think.
But
you threw your daughter under the bus.
That's true. That's true. My issue is, it. Like, I love the public jabbing and building up of a rivalry and rivalry, easy for me to say, and having fun with this stuff. And, you know, I'm not sure I'd have as much fun with, like, the guy who slung a helmet at another player's unprotected head. Like, that's sort of dangerous to be making fun of. If I was an established coach who had years of success and was clearly, like, the guy, I'd feel more comfortable doing that. What I don't think you do is create controversy when you are on the verge of being fired. That's my biggest issue.
And then you end up losing again.
If you think you're on the verge of being fired, why would you do stuff that could be construed as like, hey, you're not focused, or hey, you're too focused on this, or you're creating controversy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why give them an excuse to write about something if you're already embattled and fighting for your job? That's what I don't understand.
Well, here's the thing. What do you want your players to do? You want to set a standard. You want to set a tone. And you want your players to buy by those standards and that tone which you set. You want it to be carried and filtered throughout the team. What coaches always say, do not give the other team bulletin board material. Yeah. Don't do it. Let's just go out there and play. We know how we feel about them behind closed doors. We know all this stuff. Let's go out there and take care of business on the field. When you have the head coach doing stuff like this, now you can't tell anybody else nothing, especially a team that's been undisciplined.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
are the most penalized team in the National Football League.
And not to mention, you have a guy like Baker Mayfield that a lot of people look at from the outside as a very immature quarterback. And then, not to mention, now you're coaching an immature quarterback, but there's no coaching because they look at you like you're the same way.
And here's another thing that I didn't like. Baker Mayfield. Baker had a lot to say after Myles Garrett helmet swinging. He shouldn't have did it, yada, yada, yada.
Right, right, right.
The minute he was asked about Freddie Kitchens' shirt, well, I don't want to say anything. Oh, whoa, Baker, you can't have it both ways. You want to be a leader when Myles Garrett does something horrible, which it was. You want to, first thing you say is, yeah, he knows better. He can't do that, can't hurt our team, blase, blase. But then when your head coach do something that sort of, it gave Pittsburgh Steelers another reason why they needed to go out there and play their best game. Dude, you're adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, Baker, say something up. That wasn't cool. I mean, he's our head coach, but that's not. We are the guys out there playing, not you, coach.
I do think swinging a helmet at a helmetless player and getting suspended indefinitely is different than a guy wearing a shirt. I think there are different levels of reaction to that. Also, your coach versus your teammate is your teammate.
It doesn't matter. When you are a leader, coach can't do that. He can't do it. We are the ones out here getting hit and hitting people. Not you. You're sitting on the sideline.
But could you imagine any other coach? Like, let's say if Baker Mayfield would have wore that T-shirt, Freddie Kitchens,
as a coach,
should have been on his case about it.
Exactly.
I'm like, hey, man, we shouldn't glorify that situation. So,
yeah, it's a bad situation.
And obviously,
You're just as immature as your players. That's why you are in the situation that you're in as a team, Freddie Kitchens.
Mm.
So there you go.
And Locke is looking to throw. Taking a deep shot, looking for Sutton, and it's incomplete, and there's a flag!
Pass interference, defense, number 26.
Not turn to locate the ball. They have him bracketed in and out, and then runs into him, cuts him off.
McManus for the win, and it is good!
The Chargers has had the worst luck of any team in the NFL this year. Could you imagine losing the goal line game to the Titans, and now this happens where you, there's basically 14 seconds left in the game. Obviously, Drew Lock was not, in his first start, was not playing for overtime, throws it to Sutton, and all of a sudden you draw pass interference, and that was his goal to begin with, to get his team in field goal range. So, bad luck for the, and this is after like a play to where they, you know, scored a field goal and tied the game. So not a good season for the Chargers this year. A lot of games that they've lost by under 7 points.
Sounds like the Chargers.
Yeah, they've done
this,
like they've
been doing this
year
for
in and year out, where either they're snake bitten by injury or by just plays like this.
They've figured out so many ways to lose in the fourth quarter the last 5 years. It's insane.
They've already fired their offensive coordinator. I know Lynn is not going anywhere, but man, maybe the quarterback's next.
I think we blame Wisenhunt.
Yeah, we blame Wiz.
I still think Rivers coming here still sounds like the best option for the Titans next year. I don't know if they can afford him, but we'll see.
I don't know, but the Chargers might be on their way to saying, you know what, Phillip Rivers, we'll draft somebody else. We're not going to cut you or release you, but we're going to draft somebody else.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's going to fall in the same thing as Eli Manning, pretty much.
Yeah. Except for he's good.
Yeah, he's better than Eli.
Yeah, he's way better.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, he still almost led that comeback here. I mean, he was slinging it around the fourth quarter.
He did everything he was supposed to do.
He did everything, man.
Well, even in this game, he did because I mean, he got his team in field goal range. You know, late in the game, tied the game, and then all of a sudden, your defense gives up a pass interference to end it. So
he's thrown a bunch of interceptions a couple games previously, but he's still got something left in the tank. I feel like
he has a lot.
Like, watch Tom Brady last night. It doesn't look like it. Looks like Tom Brady's arm is starting the offense. Like. They're missing Gronkowski in a huge way.
Oh,
like
man.
That offense is not what it was at the start of the year. They built their record on a bunch of bad teams early in the year, and the Patriots are slowly coming back to the pack right now in the AFC. Meanwhile, teams like the Titans, frankly, are ascending. They're only a couple games behind the Patriots.
And just think, Buffalo still has to play New England.
Could win the division.
Yeah.
Buffalo could win the division.
Yes.
The Patriots have only lost the AFC East like one time in like 17 years.
Yeah, they lost it to Miami. No, the Jets 1 year.
The Jets won it 1 year.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, Matt Castle.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah. No, you're right. It was the Matt Castle year.
Yeah. So, all right, big finish when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
It is time for the big finish, but Derek Mason, would you like to give away a pair of tickets? What do you think, Derek, since you've turned into our new giveaway guy?
Hey, well, by golly.
You want to give away some tickets over there?
I can give away some tickets, absolutely, to the Franklin Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. So be the fifth caller.
All right. Hey, you get to choose, man. You get to choose.
Be the fifth caller, and you can win some tickets.
You're holding a piece of paper in your hand, so you get to do it.
Music City. To the Music City, the American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. Hopefully, the Spartans are playing. I'm just hoping. I'm hoping the Spartans are here playing. That'd be great.
Did they get to? Are they going to a bowl game?
Yeah, they got to 6-6.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
yeah. Good for you guys.
Hush, man.
I didn't know.
I only pay attention to relevant college football teams.
Oh, wow. So you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention to UT,
I
right?
I did see your boy.
You're not paying attention to UT, right?
Fair point.
I'm just playing UT fans.
No, that's a fair point. I do that just because I have to do this show. I pay attention to Tennessee. No, did you see your guy, though? Because one of the players, I can't remember his name, one of the players for Michigan State, and again, one of the reasons I love college football and rivalries and senior day and all this stuff, one of the players for Michigan State, if you did not see this, it's really cool. He lost both of his parents while at school at Michigan State. So he went to school. Both of his parents died. I don't remember how they passed, but both his parents passed away. And so on senior day, because his parents were not there, Mark D'Antonio and the coaching staff in the school let him come out with his two dogs.
Oh, wow.
So he brought his two dogs, his two little puppy dogs out there, and were like running through all the fans and the parents and going to take his place on senior day with like his dogs.
That's cool.
The internet went crazy. It was awesome. It was a cool thing. It's just one of those things. It's another reason why college football is really, really cool. All right, let's rewind it back. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, everyone back from holiday vacation. Fat and happy, I hope. For only the second time since 2007, with a blocked field goal, the first time since 2001 that had happened for the Tennessee Titans, your NFL franchise is a winner on the road against the Indianapolis Colts 31-17 as they keep their playoff hopes alive. Now two games over 500 and one game back of the Houston Texans in the AFC South.
This guy has been a tank for the Tennessee Titans. I said this last week, and I'm going to continue to say it. He is the best runner in the National Football League. He's running behind his pads. He's running downhill. He's running physical. You just saw yesterday that, man, you just like, man, he's on the verge of breaking one. I know his long was only 34 yards, but you're like, man, he's on the verge of breaking like a 50 or 60 yarder the way he's running. But what he does is he allows the Tennessee Titans to control the clock. He beats up on that defensive line. He beats up on those linebackers and the secondary guys. And then eventually, they're going to have to start making business decisions come the fourth quarter. Because of him, because of the way he's running the football, the Titans are able to stay within the framework of their offense. People said he's just a backup, you know, his stint in Miami, that's who he is as a quarterback. And it may be the case. But he comes here, he doesn't make a fuss, he sits behind Marcus, and when his time comes,
he's ready.
He's prepared and ready to play. He stepped in like he was a starter day one, and he has not looked back.
I don't think there is a single Titans fan or Titans coach or member of that administration or Titans player or anybody on the planet that saw this level of production coming. Because there's nothing in his career that indicated that this was going to be coming. I'm fine if you say, you know what, I thought Tannehill should have started over Marcus. I was right about that.
I just said he needed a change of venue. Maybe it works out for him.
And I got no problem. Listen, if you were back there in August saying, listen, I think Ryan Tannehill's the better player. I think he gives the team a better chance to win. I think he's good. I'd like to see him get a chance. That's fine. You're vindicated. You were right. There's no question about that. Those of us who thought Marcus should be the starter, we were wrong. There's no question about that in this season. But don't tell me you saw 5-1 coming with the highest quarterback rating in the NFL. He's averaging 9.1 yards per attempt, which would shatter his career high, and is leading the NFL. He is playing the best football of his entire career. Corey Curtis joining us here from News 2.
It's back to exotic smash mouth for this team. They, for whatever reason, they wanted to be something else. They felt like needed to be something else, but they're not built to be successful doing something else. All they did was get their quarterback killed. I always go back to that first year under Malarkey when they averaged like 33 points a game during an 8-game stretch. And, it, you know, playing this exact way, running the heck out of the football and coming up with big plays and play action and, you know, playing opportunistic defense. And, you know, that's what this team is doing. And they've scored at least 31 points in their last three games. I think, what's the average now? About 36, 37 points for the last three games. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, the Ravens are scoring a ton of points as well, and they're running the heck out of the football.
The number one topic for the Tennessee Volunteers, however, is how well this defense has developed, how well the young players have developed. The offensive line has come along. They are now beating teams they are supposed to. They finished 5-3 in the SEC with a win over Vanderbilt. You know, Trey Smith with some comments after the game saying it feels great to have the state, the natural order of things in the state of Tennessee back to normal a little bit with a win over Vanderbilt after. You can allow yourself to think, man, God, what if we had just beaten Georgia State and BYU, we'd be sitting at 9-3 right now, which would be incredible. But you have to give credit for the turnaround. But beating the teams you're supposed to beat is a new thing for the Tennessee Volunteers, and congratulations on one of the best turnarounds I've seen in SEC history, going from 0-2 to 7-5. Darren McFarland joining us here, of course, host of Darren Donick and Chase, coming up at 10 o'clock.
They've got to build some type of consistency. They're trying to get on a new run, and what better? There's a new month, new chapter, so get on that run. So how do you do that? Well, penalty kill has looked a lot better, so maybe that's a start in the right direction. They got to get the power play going. I mean, what do they have, 2 power play goals in the last 10 games? I mean, they got to get that cranked up and going again. That's kind of drifted off to the side, and they just have to play better in front of Pekka or UCF. Whoever is in net, there's just too much traffic in front. There's too many bodies in front. They got to keep bodies out of that creek, out of that slot area. They've got to give the goalies a chance to have cleaner looks and stop some of these things. You can't have these rebounds with bodies in front and nobody around. So I would say to get things going in the right direction, that would probably be a good start.
Apparently, there is a Metro Council member by the name of Steve Glover who who Facebook Live, but he wasn't doing this to, you know, campaign for something or tell the good people of Nashville about what's going on in his, you know, district. No, he was in the bathroom. He accidentally was on Facebook Live while
it's clearly accidental.
The bathroom. He was using the bathroom,
and it wasn't number one.
And it wasn't number one.
What I don't understand is, like, the whole butt dial thing now with phones. How is that even possible?
You still...
Like, do you know how you have to, like, you have to swipe and put in your code and the facial recognition
surgery? No, but you also can...
Then you got to open an app, and then you got to push a button to go live. Like, I don't know. How does your butt cheek do, like, 6 things on your phone to where this kind of thing happens?
Well, if you are in... Say if you just made a call. And you don't get out of it. You just hang it up. You don't actually get out of the number, the keypad, or the contact. You can accidentally, you know, set it down and put your hand on it or something, and not realize, and you end up dialing.
You have to laugh about it.
You have to
just own it and laugh about it.
Like, you just got to own it. Like,
yeah, you do.
It happens. Like, you know, you just got to, you can't lie. If you deny it, then it just makes you look even dumber.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all you got to do is, like, look, man, you know I have to go, right? Alabama just lost to Auburn. You know, I had a lot of Dreamland barbecue. You know, I had to go. So, I mean, maybe that's what the case was.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Vote for me, folks. I'll do a load of work for you.
I'm Councilman Glover. He puts his foot on a rock. I'm Councilman Glover. Have you ever been in a crappy situation?
Oh, Morning Drive. Always a crappy situation here on the show. We do the hard-hitting journalism that you expect, right?
Absolutely.
We really push on through to the other side.
Yeah, we get people thinking.
Well, if you listen to that video, he was pushing on through.
Yes, he was.
He sure enough pushed on through.
Good work, Councilman. Roll Tide. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, we'll be back tomorrow. Vols with a huge win. We're going to get a little bit deeper into some of the things that I think should be celebrated about this team. The Juwan Jennings issue with the head step, I think it kind of glossed over some of the really important stuff that is happening with the Tennessee Volunteer Football Program. The Titans, obviously, with a huge win. The Preds back on the ice tomorrow night. So we got a ton of stuff to get to tomorrow on the show.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For Marquise Munson, Derek Mason, my name is Braden Gall. This has been Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm and I love you.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.